Emergency Medical Services. Written by 7 Khepri Beatles. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, teen. Relationship, Fox, Quinlan Vos. Also tagged for, alternate universe, always a different sex. Fox's shitty relationship to her emotions. Quinlan's penchant for flirting in horrible situations. Blood and injury. And includes a kiss on technicality. Part 3 of 7 Star Wars Lesbification Agenda. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022. The Coruscant Guard wasn't sold as a job that you wanted to get to cadets. They were, all of them, bred for war, genes tweaked and twisted and pulled, until they were all just the right amount of determined and war-hungry and relentless, but not so much that they would do something like be insubordinate. It was a careful balance that the Kamenese had perfected. Like they were bakers who deftly spun vibrant flowers out of frosting along the edge of their perfect, glittering creations. Like the ones Fox had seen once when she'd been guarding a pair of senators who had been getting death threats and had thought that going tromping around the market district was a good idea. Though, to be truthful, she doubted the Kamenese took as much pride in their creations as the bakers took in theirs. After all, the Vode were all copies of each other, at least as far as they were concerned, and easily replaceable. It took barely a handful of years to grow them from embryos to cadets, ready to ship out as shinies. And unlike cakes, there was hardly any joy they brought to Natborns, except, perhaps, in that their existence meant that Natborns weren't required to join the army and die. But the point was, Coruscant Guard wasn't exactly a posting you wanted. It was where you ended up if you were just a bit too mouthy, too reckless. Not enough to be decommed, because you were just too efficient, but enough that you reminded the Natborns too much that you were more than just a meat droid. That had been how Fox had wound up there. She'd been under a Natborn general by the name of Salus Irin. A nasty old human who moved her and her sisters around like so many Dejeric pieces, and with far less finesse, and lost so many that it had pressed down on Fox's shoulders. Then a captain, until she had finally bent under the pressure and covertly switched the orders of some of the squads going out onto the field, so they didn't all die on a criffing suicide run, which was how they had been set up. A good 75% of them had survived, which was more than any of the other battles beneath Irin. But he found out, and it had been goodbye for Fox to the front lines, and hello to the cramped desks wedged into the small room allocated to the Coruscant Guard and the data pads on sheets of flimsy to be dealt with. Fox pressed her forefinger and thumb to the bridge of her nose, fending off an impending headache. It never boded well when she got nostalgic and started thinking about what had brought her here, to the Senate building, had sent her from the lowest rungs of the guard to clawing her way to the top and doing her best to keep the Vore under her alive. Usually, it meant she hadn't had enough sleep, or enough calf, or had spent too many hours mindlessly poring over the latest request from a senator for guards, because all of them seemed to think the guard were their own personal accessories, to be shown off at any given gala or event, saying, "Look at me, I'm powerful enough to force these clones to abandon the work they're actually supposed to be doing, and attend my whims for the night." In this particular case, it was all three, compounded with the shitty chair that she hadn't had the time to put in a requisition form to try and replace. The form would, she knew without much doubt, inevitably be sent back with a red stamp of denial, but the action of having tried was something that anchored her to the ground when she thought she would float out of her body with exhaustion and pain. Stars, though, what she wouldn't give for a chair with a cushion. Or, and this was less likely to happen than Count Dooku walking into the Jedi Temple and surrendering, padding on the back and arms. Sitting in the stiff back fold-out steel, not even Durasteel, because that was being eaten up for weapons production and starship repair, made her vertebra feel like they were fusing together, and made her ribs pop and crackle alarmingly when she got up to move, after they were compressed on top of each other for so many hours on end. She let out a shallow breath and glanced over the data pad once again, and decided it could wait for a few minutes while she took a quick lap around the building to try and get the blood flowing back into her lower half again. Setting it down, she rose, lifting her bucket off her hip and sliding it over her head, making her way out into the main area, nodding shallowly to the various Vore who greeted her, and, in the case of the two on guard duty outside of the room, Silt and Silver, a pair of batchmates who had recently been transferred in, and as shiny as they came, snapped off regulation appropriate salutes, posture locked at attention. The building they'd been given wasn't large, but it was larger than the room they'd started out in, and, more importantly, didn't have senators lurking around every corner, waiting to catch them out. Still, Fox kept on guard, out of habit, and out of a wariness that had ingrained itself like sand into a wound. Senators and other Natborn didn't usually come down here, preferring to send a calm message. But sometimes one still wandered down, if they were particularly incensed at something one of the guard had, in their eyes, done or failed to do. Fox tried to be on hand so she could step in and take the place of whichever sister was being blamed, which wasn't too hard, since Natborns hardly paid attention to the differences in the paint on their armor, and were more than happy to verbally abuse and threaten whichever Vod was closest at hand. She looped around the building, coming around to the back half, and turned around the corner, just about to continue on with the lap, and stopped dead as an unfortunately familiar figure materialized out of the shadows. Dark brown locks splayed across a dark spacer's uniform, golden stripe glinting against her rich brown skin under the light that suddenly splashed across it. "Vos," she said, long-suffering, because, of course, it was her. The universe had never liked Fox and took great joy at throwing the most insufferable people at her with alarming regularity. The Kefar flashed a pearly-toothed smile, slightly strained at the edges. "Hey, Commander," she greeted, and it was only then that Fox noticed the way she was clutching her torso, just above the left hip, black gloves suspiciously wet and gleaming. Sorry to bother you, but do you happen to have any Bacta on you?" She said it like it was the most normal thing in the world. "Hey, Commander, do you have calf? Hey, Commander, can I grab one of your sisters? Hey, Commander, I have an unidentified but possibly incredibly serious wound that's bleeding enough. You can see it soaking through the fabric of my gloves. Do you have any Bacta on you?" Fox let out a wordless growl, filtered through her vocoder, into a rumbling snarl, and strode forward, grabbing the Dekutla Mirsheb of a Jedi, and shoved her against the wall, because she needed something to support her, and unfortunately, Fox was a good head shorter and weighed significantly less, even with her armor on. And trying to support her by herself was a good way to have the two of them topple over. And Vos looked like her knees were going to buckle. Vos let out a wheezing chuckle. "Maybe buy me a calf next time first," she said, her words worryingly wet. Her hands were still clutching her side, which, now that she was closer, Fox could see was also soaked in blood, though it looked more like an oil stain with how dark her clothes were. "The guard don't get paid," Fox informed her, holding her against the wall with one hand and digging around in the pockets attached to her belt with the other. "Be glad I keep emergency medical supplies on me at all times." Her fingers hit on the Bacta strips and the adhesive bandages, and she drew them out. Technically, Thier was the guard's medical officer, but Fox had arguably more experience with battlefield medicine than she did, since she'd been tracked to Coruscant Guard right off Kamino for reasons she had never revealed. With concerted effort, she peeled one of the largest Bacta strips open and shoved Vos's jacket aside, pulling her shirt up. She hesitated then for a moment. It felt strange to be doing this with Vos, who on top of being Natborn was a Jedi. She was used to patching up her sisters, not this. Vos watched her with dark eyes that were rapidly losing their luster and said nothing. Remembering the urgency, Fox shifted her hands away with the side of her own and slapped the Bacta strip over the frighteningly large wound. It was a good thing she had grabbed the biggest strip she had, because even it barely covered the jagged tear, as quickly as she could, and then pulled the roll of adhesive bandages out and tore a few strips off with her teeth before pressing them over the Bacta, which was, thankfully, holding the skin together fairly well, with only a few little beads of blood bubbling up around the edges. Vos tilted her head back against the wall and let out a shallow sigh. "Thank you," she said. Her hands had fallen limply to her sides, the gloves soaked with blood, which left smears along the lighter fabric of her pants as they'd fallen away. "What possessed you to come to me instead of your Kriffing temple?" Fox demanded, anger suddenly rising in her as the intense focus she'd fallen into began to subside. She curled her fingers into Vos's shoulder, hard, hoping it hurt, and tried very hard not to think about the ugly twist of fear that made her want to throw up. Vos hummed, eyes opening to thin slits, and offered her a smile. "Knew you'd take care of me," she said, and then, more seriously, "it would blow my cover. You, I can trust not to rat me out." "So you've been waiting in an alley for Kara knows how long, just on the off chance that I showed up?" Fox hissed, and now the anger was morphing into something sharp and many-toothed, like those horror stories of giant beasts the cadets traded between each other when the lights were out in hushed whispers. "Well, when you put it like that," said Vos, flippancy returning. "Relax, Fox. I know your schedule. You take a walk around 1400 every 3 days, because if you don't, you'll throw something or throttle the senators who come down to complain." Her head dipped to the side, jaw brushing over Fox's fingers, the corner of her lips, soft rasping against her knuckles, even through the gloves. That Vos knew her routine was what she should have been thinking about. If she could figure it out, then it stood to reason other people could, which was a security risk. But instead, she was thinking about the way the touch of the other's skin against hers, even through the dividing layer of her gloves, seem to burn like a brand. I might strangle you, she said instead. And that drew a laugh out of Vos, a little rattling and wet, but not so bad that she would probably collapse and die then and there. And undo the hard work you just dedicated to me, she teased. Please, you value your work too much. Her breath billowed, hot, across Fox's hand. She ripped it away from the Jedi's shoulder, and she watched her brace herself against the wall with her forearms to steady herself. Go get actual medical assistance, she said. I don't care if it's in some lower-level slum and they medicate you with spice. You need stitches, at least. The Bacta's a stopgap measure. Her voice sounded flat with anger, even through the vocorder, and she hoped Voss heard it and knew it was her fault. Wouldn't be the first time, Voss said, and slowly pushed herself off the wall, and then grabbed Fox's arm from where it had instinctually shot out in case she stumbled, pressing their forearms together and reeling her in to lean down and press her forehead to Fox's bucket. Thank you, Commander, she murmured. And then she was pushing away and disappearing back into the shadows from where she had come, leaving Fox with new red smears on the white plastoid of her armor and an uncomfortable twisting in her chest, like someone had played pin the tail to the Nexu with her ribs, and a burning sensation where their arms had been clasped together. Fox let out a rasping breath and shook out her arm carefully and turned to finish her lap around the building. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!